Now, there are many things about the book of Timothy that I like. So many things. Now, I read over them again and I said, I'm going to try to think of some of those things. I think one of the greatest scriptures in the book of 1 Timothy is 1 Timothy 3:16. For without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh. Manifested in the flesh. Hallelujah. He was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. God was. Aren't we glad we know Him like that? Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Would the church say amen? You may be seated. Hallelujah. Now in the second book of Timothy, chapter 3, the Bible said this, know also that in the last days perilous times will come, shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Old scripture. Oh, how old is this? How used is it? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. And then in verse 12 of that third chapter he said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou, and oh, how beautiful is this verse. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Don't you like that? I like to go on in the things I've learned that I, by experience, over the years, have been made assured those things are right. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Oh, that's another good one. Good phrase. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, speaking to Timothy now, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now I do not doubt for a moment that there has been, and no doubt will be more, of a falling away from the faith and the truth and the doctrine. But I believe in the process of a falling away and people going out of the faith and out of the truth or out of the graces of God, that God is going to give revival in spite of it. Where iniquity doth abound, grace does more abound. I believe that scripture. Hallelujah. So I believe God will add to the church daily such as should be saved, if that's what we want, if that's what we believe Him for, if that's what we desire in our hearts. Now, I believe the majority of you here in this church, not because of Brother Shirdy, but because of your past and your history and your training, it would be very hard for probably all of you, and if not, there would be maybe just a few exceptions, that every one of you are totally settled and grounded in the truth and fact there is but one God, and that His name is Jesus Christ, and that Acts 2 and 38 is God's only plan to get in the church. Repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, baptism of the Holy Ghost with a sign of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Amen. And it doesn't matter whether it be organizational ties or non-organizational ties. Now, don't feel hard if ever. I've never been a part of the United Pentecostal Church, being a part of that organization. I don't know that I ever will be, but if I ever am, then it will be what I think is best for me, personally. But there are people who are raised up in that, and that's all they know. They've never known anything but that. They know nothing but that general conference and their camp meeting, and they don't know anything outside of that. And they have heard over and over again that anything outside of the United Pentecostal Church is a minus. Something's wrong with them. And a lot of the reason for that is a lot of people who avoid any organizational tie, a lot of people, there is something wrong. Either some kind of doctrine or mixed up life or fouled up life. That doesn't mean everybody. Not everybody at all. I'm not in any organization, and I'm one of the best fellows there is. The founding pastor of this church was not in the organization, one of the grandest men that ever lived. But I am aware by my own experience that a lot of people are branded with foolishness and ungodliness and transgression against the Word of God. And we do need to know them that labor among us. Amen. But in the last days, Paul said to Timothy, in latter times, some shall depart from the faith. And I'm glad we have a faith. Jude said we need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Hallelujah. Now the faith is not only the plan of salvation, and the gospel and this truth is not only the doctrine alone that we believe is right to get into the church, but all of God's truth, His church, and everything that pertains to God is of truth and the faith and the gospel. Everything is. It's all of God. And it doesn't matter what kind of organizational tie or non-organizational tie, we're part of the faith and the truth. Hallelujah. I've heard it said recently that there's been a little rumor around town, and somebody said, the only thing I know wrong with Brother Shirdy, he's not in United Pentecostal Church. I hope that's the only thing that ever gets wrong with me. I could say the only thing wrong with him is he's in UPC. But I don't feel that way. Because that is my brother if he believes this truth. And we have got to treat him that way. And as long as we act that way, God's going to bless this church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. But I don't believe tonight there is enough devils to take away your training and teaching and good solid Bible doctrine and gospel, the foundation of the truth. Now the Bible said, in latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Now, don't think that only means the knowledge of one God, water baptism in Jesus' name, and the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Because you can depart from the faith and still believe the doctrine. Need to chew on that one a while? I don't think so. It's a fact. you can depart from the faith that was once delivered to the saints that you need to earnestly contend for. Let's go back to what Paul said to Timothy. I like this. He said, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." There's a lot of good things in the church that we need to earnestly contend for. Amen. And this term, seducing spirits, Paul said to Timothy in chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4, he said, "In the latter times there people shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." And then he come along and he said in another place, he said, "Evil men," that he said, "all that live godly in Jesus Christ are going to be persecuted, but evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." I want you and I to be stable. Stable. Fixed. Grounded. Unshakable. Unmovable. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's one of the things I love about our church, is it is strong in faith and in doctrine. But even though now we are strong in the doctrine and in the unity of the Spirit in Bible truth, yet the devil, if he can't change your mind concerning the Godhead or the power of the Holy Ghost or water baptism in Jesus' name, if he can't change you in that, he'll try to change you in something else that's just as important in your life. Hallelujah. An attitude, or a jealousy, or a hatred, or a variation or departing from holiness that you have been taught and trained in. Anything he can do to take away your victory, he'll do it. I'm talking about seducing spirits in these last days that hell is attacking the foundation of the church to take away what we have learned that we've been assured of is right, and taking away our victory and our joy in the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The Apostle Peter, in his writings, he spoke of people whom, he said, were like natural brute beasts. Boy, that would be insulting to somebody, wouldn't it? I hear lately, I don't know why, it has been on my mind so very much. I don't think I have ever preached a message on this subject. But it would be easy to preach a subject. I'll preach a message on the subject of pearls and pigs. That's right. Jesus said, "Don't cast your pearl before swine. They will trample them and turn again and rend you." Now, how do you think somebody would like being called a pig? I don't think people don't even like that when you're just talking about food, much less anything else. But now that was Jesus' own language and not Brother Shirty's. But you could use a message about pearls and pigs of people who have become reprobate in their spirit and have come near to be blasphemers, who at one time had the truth, lived for God, departed from the faith, and have become hateful. That's exactly what he's talking about. Oh, yes it is. But he spoke of people who were ungodly. They were transgressors. They were as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. They speak evil of things that they understand not. They shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. Beguiled unstable souls. And heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray. You believe that's in the book? It's right there. I'm reading it right out of the book. Now, Paul also, or Peter at this time, reminded the church. He said, I'm writing you this letter in 2 Peter. I'm writing you this letter in both which, I stir up your pure minds. Sometimes we need that, don't we? Stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. So let me remind you of something Peter said. Now he went on in that third chapter of 2 Peter and said that there were people who scoffed and laughed and mocked and said, where is the promise of His coming? We've got a long time. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. Let's have a good time. Don't worry about, I'll get back in the church after a while. The day will come. I'll live for God. But right now, I'm young and full of energy, and I want to do some things. And they say, where is the promise of His coming? But He said, they are foolish, for this they willingly are ignorant of. He said, because one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And He went on and said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this, that a day as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. But God is not slack concerning His promise. He is going to come back. And everything we see, is going to be dissolved and melted with fervent heat. That's right. Hallelujah. Seeing then, now let me read it. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Holy conversation and godliness. Amen. Holy conversation. I like that, don't you? Brother Shirty's, I'm just giving you a good old cornbread and black-eyed pea and corn on the cob Bible lesson tonight. Is that all right? It's time for it. I feel it. Good time to do it. Lot, who was vexed with the dirty jokes and the cursing and the filthy language of the people he was around. It's important to us to get the right kind of company. Amen. And I have often said, people may put on a good show and look like everything's genuinely all right, and you think they're one of the grandest people in the world. If any of you men want to know if some other man is really genuine and solid, go fishing with him. Right. Or go hunting with him and see him stick his truck in a bog hole somewhere. You'll find out pretty soon if they're in the church or not. Let him hang that black lizard up in the limbs about 15 dozen times. If he's got any cussing inside, it'll come out. That's right. Now, he talked about Lot, who was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Hallelujah. But what I'm talking about tonight is people who are not giving heed to seducing spirits, but who are stable. Stable. Woo, hallelujah. Stable. Do you know, in all honesty, that's one of the main things you want from a pastor. You want him to be stable. You want him to be real from day to day and be the same thing. Driving down the road today, talking to one of our saints, and this person was talking to another one of our saints, and they said, you know, Brother Shirty is different when he gets inside church than if you were off somewhere else, you know, eating hamburgers somewhere, or fishing in a boat, or going out to a deer stand or something. Said, Brother Shirty is different. And you're right. Not that I am different in my filthy conversation, but outside of the doors and walls and the parking lot of this church, I'll laugh and talk with you about all kind of things in life. But inside here, this is the most serious business in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the most important thing in the whole world. I don't know of anything any more important than this. Hallelujah. Praise God. But if you want to know what a person's really made of, just go spend some time with them for a while. But God help us to be stable and fixed in our minds, in our spirits, and in our hearts. And not just be something at church, but be it in the grocery store and on the job. When an automobile mechanic, he gets one of those Kmart specials, open-end wrench, and it slips off and he knocks the hide off of about three knuckles. And he can still say, I love you, Jesus. Or when the carpenter comes down with a hammer and hits the wrong nail, and he turns it purple instead of white, and still say, I love you, Jesus. Or mama's standing over the stove, and all of a sudden there's a splatter of hot cooking oil, and she can still say, I love you, Jesus, instead of something else coming out. That's right, stable. 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 That you are the same thing everywhere you go. Now, when Jacob called his sons in, he called all 12 of his boys in. He was going to die now. In the book of Genesis, just before he died, Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together, and hear, you sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn. I like the way he started that. My might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. And the next three words in verse 4 erases everything he said. Unstable as water. Thou shall not excel. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed and defiled thou it. He went up to my couch, Jacob said. And Reuben, who was the firstborn, who was strong, he was a man of dignity, excellent in power and great strength, the beginning of Jacob's strength. Reuben received a reprimand and a curse before that old gray-headed daddy died. Nothing in the world any more disgraceful could be said about anybody than to say they were as unstable as water. That's right. Unstable. Unstable as water. You know what that means? Now, water is an element, if I use the right term, or a liquid. I will say an element. Water is an element that changes totally, no exception, at all times to fit its present environment. You pour water into a square container and water becomes square. Put water into a round container, and water is round. You put a little purple dye in water, and water becomes purple. Put a little sugar in it, and it becomes sweet. Or a little salt in it, and it becomes salty. Water is totally subject to its environment. It becomes whatever is around it. And Jacob said, Reuben, you are unstable. You're like water. You change with every passing moment. You are not stable. You fit the occasion of your environment. Oh, what a sad thing to say. Hallelujah. I want to be the same thing if you see me in Kmart, or at some eating place, or here in the church, or in the prayer room, or anywhere. I want to be the same thing. Amen. And the only way we are going to be a progressive and strong body of people is when we do not give heed to seducing spirits to become less than what we are. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Someone told me not long ago of an individual who wears dresses to our church and wears pantsuits other places. And I have not brought this to the person's attention because I don't feel that it would be good to do that. The person has heard it preached and they've decided not to do it. So I'm just going to pray and go right on. But I don't have any confidence in that person. I wouldn't want them to pray for me if I was dying, because they're unstable. Now, I believe we ought to remain strong in the things we've been taught and cling to that truth, that we are to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, when I first came to the church, it's been a year and a half now, I told all of our ladies about dress length and sleeve length and all that kind of thing. And of course, in a year and a half, all the ladies know. I mean, there's no question about it anymore. All of our ladies know they're supposed to wear sleeves down to there. Not anywhere above the bone of the elbow when you bend it back this way. Not supposed to be any shorter than that. A year and a half is enough time to change wardrobes for folks that were here at that time. Good long dresses. And I want you to know something. I compliment you. I mean to tell you I do. And once in a while lately, I've seen a few of our ladies that have had long dresses with splits in them that didn't have any pins and sewing in them. And it came up above the knee. I don't care how long your split is, as long as it doesn't go above the knee. And you've heard me say that before. But I'm talking about the faith, all right? Let's talk about seducing spirits. Now that we want to talk about seducing spirits, that's where it's at in the world. Now, Hollywood and Paris and all the designers of modern times are offering to the world changes of apparel to keep the market moving constantly. Now, we are not supposed to be addicted to all the changes that the seducing spirits of this world has to offer. Amen, Brother Shirley. Preach hallelujah, glory to God. We're not supposed to be subject to that. We're supposed to have our heart in the work of God. Amen. Well, we are coming to a good time. Summer is getting here. It is time to go swimming. Time to go sunbathing. I don't care if you go swimming and sunbathing. I've heard folks say down through the years. Now, of course, not long ago, we went to the YMCA. The ladies had their turn back in the pool. Then they came out and the guys went back and had their turn in the pool. And I like that kind of business. That's the way it's supposed to be done. That's a godly way to do it. Amen. And I'm here to tell you now that the only time anybody's supposed to wear a bathing suit is when you are in the company of your own kind and not in the company of anybody else. That's right. Now, if it's your husband, you and your husband, that's fine. But outside of you and your husband or you and your wife, it's not supposed to be anybody else. Not your brother-in-law. Not your sister-in-law. Not your cousin. Right? Well, y'all thought it was okay a while ago. I'm still talking about seducing spirits. Amen. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with laying in the sun if you ladies want to. But you better be sure that it is 100%, not 99, not 95, 98, not 99, but 100% private. Nobody can infringe on that privacy. If anybody can infringe on it, it's your fault. Amen. It's your fault. And you, I'm here to tell you, if you don't contend for the faith that was delivered to you, you can become an unstable soul that is like a natural brute beast to be taken and destroyed. Right here in this book, we need to love what's been put in our hearts and stand for it and thank God for it because it's right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I've heard some folks say, now, if the ladies are going to the river, I don't know very many private places in the river where you can go in a bathing suit that somebody don't come by once in a while. I don't know of any private places, hardly anywhere in this world, now not places we go anyhow, that is so private nobody's ever going to come. I don't buy that idea. I just don't think it's right. It's not right. Amen. But if you fellas say, boy, I like to go swimming because of exercise. If you're going because of exercise, you wear you some blue jeans and a good athletic shirt. You get all the exercise you need swimming with that on. Amen. But before summer gets in full force, let's get the bathing suit thing out of the way, all right? We don't do that. You don't mix with your family. I'm talking about outside of your immediate family. Brother-in-laws and brothers and sisters. You say, well, that's my brother and our wives. We've been married and it's all right for us to do it. No, it isn't all right. There are too many ungodly things going on in this world today. I'm here to tell you, not in this church, not since I've been here anyhow, but there have been brothers who have swapped wives and sisters who have swapped husbands. We don't even need to be exposed to that kind of thing. We're talking about giving heed to seducing spirits. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Now the world is full of things and we can't stop it. If you go into any department store on the streets of the city, you're going to see things. You're in this world. You've got to live here and you've got to operate here and do things. Your business has got to be handled here. But there's some things in this life we don't have to do. And we need to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Seducing spirits? Spirits. Evil spirits. Ungodly spirits. Now, go back again. The way of a transgressor is hard. Spirits, seducing spirits, will persuade you to paint your face if you're not careful. That's right. And do things to yourself that God would not be pleased with. Amen. Now, I want to say this again, and I hope I'm saying this in clarity. There's nothing wrong with a husband and his wife dressing out together in any way, if they're going swimming or whatever in private, total privacy. But this business of families getting together and dressing out together is wrong, 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 wrong. And if I hear of it going on this coming summer, I will not worry one bit about giving you an open scolding in front of the church. I've already said this. I've said this from the pulpit more times than one. And I've even told some folks individually. Now, I think we need not even have any problem with this year. Is that all right? Amen. Now, the Lord's blessing this church, and we don't want anything to happen to injure what God's doing for us. Amen. So let's see it happen that way. But Reuben was unstable. And the Bible said concerning those in Peter's day that they were unstable souls, beguiling, unstable souls. Listen to what he had to say in closing that second book of Peter. He said these words, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." Now listen to this. "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood." You ever heard anything preached that was hard to understand? Peter said, "Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest or they wrestle with it. That is, I'm reading 2 Peter 3, verse 14 down, verse 16. They that are unlearned and unstable struggle and wrestle over things that are preached. That's what Peter said. As they do also other scriptures, how unto their own destruction. Hey, that's in the book. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, I like that. Reuben, you are the example of excellence and strength and power, but Reuben, you're like a container of water, unstable. Whoever you're around, you act like them. Wherever you go, you act like your environment, Reuben. I don't want to be like that, do you? I want to be stable, steadfast, immovable, unshakable. I want to cling to the faith and to the truth, to this faith once delivered to the saints. I'm not at contest with anybody. I'm not trying to keep up with anybody for any kind of standard of holiness and righteousness. I'm not pointing at anybody that may have more or less. This is just what I feel is good for us. And I'm responsible to God for you. The ladies don't cut their hair. They don't even trim the ends of it. Not even the dead ends. Not even a teensy-weensy bit. And when you feel like it ought to get shorter, you don't put a permanent in it and burn it off. Sometimes I think permanent waves could almost be an insult to God because of the damage it does to a lady's hair. If it's done right, it can be done and it can be pretty and neat and nothing's wrong with it. But if it destroys your hair, you better leave it alone. I didn't write it. I didn't create it. I didn't say it. But the Bible said your hair was given to you for glory. I'm sorry. That's one of the reasons I've never really approved of ladies wearing wigs on top of their hair. Because it's their hair that was their glory. And not somebody else's hair. Now, I'm not fussing about that tonight to nobody. I'm just saying that, you know, you can use all kind of fillers and things, but your hair is your glory. That's what God wants to show if it's in the book that way. Is that right? So don't feel bad at me at saying that. I'm just telling you that. I don't know where all the hair comes from that they make wigs out of. I've seen some things in wigs that I knew was an insult to God. I saw one girl some years ago, and this family, her dad's in the ministry. And she rolled her hair all up underneath, and she put on a short wig that was shoulder length and had her hair turned up in a flip, cut ends. And all you could see was total wig with flipped up ends. Now, in her heart, she had cut hair. That's what she wanted to be identified with. That was in her heart. There are some things that would be wrong to start off with. But if God gave you your hair for a covering and for glory, then it ought to be your hair that's out front. Is that right? That gets us all right. I think there's a lot of good truth in that. But ladies don't cut their hair. And I told the church not long ago, I said, after a year and a half, I'm getting concerned about some folks whose hair hadn't gotten any longer. Mine even grows more than that. Some of our ladies, and I know it's a fact, some of you, it just doesn't grow very. I'm here to tell you, there are some ladies in this church that wish they had your blessing. That it didn't grow very fast. But nevertheless, we have a strong foundation for truth. And God will bless us for loving it and clinging to it, earnestly contending for it. And if the church is strong and you represent motherhood in this world, we won't have to worry about the new infants coming in and the right kind of influence that we have over them. God can give us new souls and they will be strengthened by truth and by your example. Amen. Let somebody throw off on us for not being a part of their clique, but don't ever let them throw off on us because we're not right. Let's be right. Let's stay right. Let's love right. No matter where we go, if it's in Kmart Shopping Center or if it is here at church, you wear the same kind of clothes there you wear here. The only place you don't wear the same kind of clothes you wear here is inside your house with the door closed and the windows, everything fixed so nobody don't come see you. That's the only time you wear clothes that are not decent. And in the house, it's decent if you don't have company. Amen. Boy, you weren't expecting anything like this tonight, were you? Summer's getting here. I had to say it before it got time for all that. All right, let's stand together, can we? I would like for you to bring somebody to church. Listen. Now listen. Now don't take this lightly. I felt this in the prayer room a little while ago. Let's bring somebody to church Sunday. If you will bring somebody, we will have a breakout of revival. The only reason we haven't had, we don't have sinners here to get the Holy Ghost. Bring somebody. And God will work a work in their lives. Amen. Prayer tomorrow night. No prayer Saturday night, but pictures Saturday during the day. And if you can find anybody that wants their photograph taken, it can still be done on Saturday. And also, Sunday morning, Sunday school, church Sunday evening. Baby shower on Monday night. Church meeting on Tuesday night. And we're going to have a great time. Let's all pray together, can we? Lord, we love You tonight and praise You with all our heart and all our might. We thank You, Lord, for the giving of Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for Your truth and blessing in our lives. We ask of You, Lord, tonight, anoint and bless this church family in this place of worship. Give us revival in our hearts and in our minds, Lord. Teach us Your way. Help us to know Your way and do Your will, that we might be found pleasing in Your sight, and will praise and worship You for the victory You give us, Lord. Heal the sick, deliver the oppressed, and strengthen the weak, Lord. Put Your hand upon our lives, and we'll praise You for it. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Thank You, Lord. Amen.